For Alex Glenn, just running off to the... Here's a little chip from Benny Barber, tidied up beautifully by Inglis, and he gets around one, two, three, four, Greg Inglis, and he's still going. This mighty fullback for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Will he go the distance? Greg Inglis at Suncorp Stadium. Yes, he will. What a try. Greg Inglis, you superstar.
Coming up on this week's Greg Inglis podcast, yes, you're not dreaming. Greg Inglis is coming to the HJ as we discuss Greg Inglis heading to Warrington. We also take a look at Greg Inglis at The Wire, along with having a chat about Greg Inglis, not forgetting our thoughts on Greg Inglis. But the news of the week must be Greg Inglis. There's our opinions on Greg Inglis, and the podcast looks at Greg Inglis signing before discussing Greg Inglis, and more Greg Inglis. This is What Would Brian Inglis Say?
Hello, I'm Rob London, and I'm pretty sure since the news has broken, I haven't slept a wink. Yes, we've signed a man that was widely regarded as the best rugby league player of the last two decades. A powerhouse back that played 263 NRL games, made a staggering 32 State of Origin appearances and 39 tests for Australia. He's won three NRL Grand Finals, winner of the Golden Boot, and let's throw in the Clive Churchill Medal too. And he's a proud Indigenous Australian. Yes, the wonderful Deck Pattern. What? Who? Oh, sorry, Greg Inglis. But where are my other two over-the-moon podcast ings? First up, a man that is hopefully going to provide us with more GI statistics than even the computer Deep Blue could process. It's Sam Ing Genius Sankey.
Knight to King 4. I think that was one of Deep Blue's big moves. Anyway, hello, Rob. Yes, this week I decided to take a break from all social media. So I've no idea if anything's happened. I'm looking for you two to fill me in. If there's any news I should be aware of, I'm just going to go with the flow today and make it up on the hoof.
Oh, very good. What is your opening move at chess, Sam? What do you normally go for? You bring a pawn forward or you...
No, pawn forward two spaces, but usually the one in front of the horsey.
But also, not so much a deep blue computer, just more deep purple vein when watching a bit of blue. It's Dennis Ingloriousness Waywell.
Hello, glad to be back. I'm a chess player. I noticed that Deep Blue lost the first round to Kasparov 4-2.
Did he?
Yeah.
Now, the last time we heard from this young man, he was out in no man's land. Yes, we left poor Daniel with the impossible soundbite, but that doesn't stop and deter a battle-scarred Daniel as he's back with his take on what he expects from Wire's new amazing signing.
The more the world is changing, the more it stays the same. Life is full of small surprises.
Hang on, yeah. Can I just check that this is actually like real? This is the Greg Inglis, the one that we all know. It's not a Greg Inglis Jr. or just some fellow with the same name. This is actually the real one. Wow. My goodness. Yes, of course. This is the news that broke on Tuesday this week, which is that Warrington Wolves have tempted Greg Inglis out of a short retirement to come and play rugby league in England for the first time in his career, which is extremely exciting news. I think this is one of the biggest transfers in Super League history, up there with Andrew Johns and Sonny Bill Williams. I think what makes this so surprising is the fact that usually with the big transfers in rugby league, or any transfers in rugby league for that matter, you usually hear a lot of murmurings and whispers and gossip before they happen, usually weeks and months before they happen. But with this, there was an Australian report an hour or two before it was confirmed by the club, and that was it. It had come out of absolutely nowhere. What a coup this is for the club. What a piece of news. It's come out of nowhere, and it's unbelievable for Warrington to be signing a player of this calibre. I was speaking to my friend who doesn't really know much about rugby league, but he follows football, and he asked me for a comparison. And I said, it's similar to a player of someone like Cristiano Ronaldo's calibre going to play in the Championship, going to play in a league that is clearly not of the standard that he's used to playing in. But it's that calibre of player. It's that player who has been so important and so influential in the last couple of decades of rugby. I mean, this is one of the greats of the modern era. I mean, when I was growing up, Greg Inglis was a big name, and he has been up until his retirement last year. So this is unbelievable news for Warrington. There's a lot of questions as to kind of where he will play. Will he be a fullback? Will he be a centre? He spent plenty of time at both of those during his career. I think it's exciting no matter what happens, just to have a player of that stature at our club in England for the first time in his career. Unbelievable, unbelievable news. The club take a lot of stick from myself and from others, and rightly so a lot of the time, but I have to say, credit where it's due. This is incredible news. So thank you to the Warrington Wolves Club, because this is the lift that everybody needed. I mean, we're all missing the sport at the minute, but I'm sure everybody is really excited for 2021 now, and even if it only happens to be for 1 year, it's going to be great just to have a player like this at the club. I can't wait. I really can't wait. And I'm looking forward to seeing what other transfer business is done ahead of the 2021 season. And there's still plenty of 2020 to go yet, of course, as well. But unbelievable news, and certainly one of the biggest ever Super League transfers, if not the biggest ever. What a day for Warrington Wolves.
Well, Daniel seems over the moon just as much as everyone else. It came as a surprise. I mean, it just came from nowhere. Madden Blort Boyd, nothing in the chip shop, Dennis, to say Inglis was on his way. What do we make of this? Are we still pinching ourselves?
Well, as I said, I was willing to phone her last week, but we said we had Chris Riley on, so we missed out on that one.
So basically, Chris Riley was the problem.
Yes. Yeah. He created this issue.
I'll send him a message.
But good off Daniel, though. I like the bit that he said that he spoke to a friend who doesn't know anything about rugby about this.
Yes.
So quite insightful.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we spoke to Inglis's agent, was it on Thursday? And Inglis's agent really didn't know much about it either. So it really has come as a surprise to everyone. Sam, have you got any stats on the big man?
Oh, geez. Well, first of all, the stats on the big man, according to Wikipedia, not my normal rugby league is that he's a monster. He's 6'4" and 18 stone 2 pound. But in his case, mate, he's 18 stone of muscle.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. I've got that little bit missing.
And when you read that, maybe, I mean, Rob, I remember you telling us a story about when you first saw Man Meninga and the size of him when he came.
Man Meninga or Mal Meninga?
Both of them.
Who's Man Meninga? Did I give you that Betamax tape, did I?
Yeah. And, you know, he's a monster of a bloke, isn't he? He's an absolute colossus of a fella.
He is. But Rob's always been on the large side and weighing in at 18 stone for himself.
Jesus Christ. I saw him play about, would have been 5 years ago. I went to watch Manly play South at Brookie Oval. I think it was a Thursday or Friday night game. And the main reason I went was because all the Burgess boys were playing and I was sort of trying to support the English lot. But before the game, and the thing that sticks in my memory more than anything, it was two things. George Burgess got bullied and Sam Burgess had to come to his aid on about four occasions during the game. But the main thing was, prior to the start of the game, Inglis came out. And as you said, Sam, he's huge. He's absolutely enormous. He was standing under the goalposts and one of the South's trainers was on the halfway line kicking him a ball, which he was practicing to catch. But rather than Inglis then kicking it back to him on the halfway line, he threw it underarm from underneath the sticks to the halfway line. And I turned to the guy next to me. He was just shaking his head. Mm-hmm. And he did it six or seven times. I don't remember anything about the game and how he played, but the strength of the kid is huge. The one worry I've got is he hasn't really played any footy since 2018. He only played two games for Souths in 2019, so he didn't really finish in 19. He finished in 18. is he up to playing? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
There's a couple of ways of looking at it, isn't he? He had his ACL problem. Well, we've got a few of those in the team anyway. But then he had the time off, injured. He then came back and he had a couple of issues personally, didn't he? Didn't he get done drink driving around then?
That's not that long ago.
For someone who is a great of the game, he finished almost with a whimper. So you wonder whether he's had, or he will have had, 2 years to rest his body. If his mind's right and his motivation's right,
where have you pinched this from?
I tell you what, I've never noticed before how negative Sam is.
But this is his chance to go out as a champion, isn't it? This is his chance almost to do a farewell tour of Great Britain, showing the Northern Hemisphere just what a star he is.
Orford, Longford.
It reminds me, he's a completely different size and shape, but it reminds me of Jonathan Davies coming to us. He was similar age. They have a very close-knit community in South Wales as well, don't they? So, you know, so this guy could really set Super League.
Who are we on about now? Jonathan Davies or Greg Inglis?
Back to Greg Inglis. Jonathan Man Inglis.
Right, here we go, Sam. Let's listen to it. Come on then, Dennis. Talk to us about Greg Inglis. I mean, you've got a vague expression on your face this morning. You've got a picture up behind you of Stuart Hall, Eddie Waring, and Jim will fix it. I mean, is this coming from, this podcast now? Come on.
You know, it's caught me such by surprise. I haven't done any research on it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, right, Shower. I think he's going to play centre. He's going to play centre for us.
Right. So, yeah. Now I'm being drawn in. Right. So, where are you going to play him?
They can't play him in the halves, can they? Because...
Why?
Well, because we've got Blake Austin and Gareth Widdop and probably one of the young kids. Is it Riley Dean? He's going to come up, you know, because we're looking at next season, not looking at this year. We've got two fullbacks in Ratchford and the young lad Ashton. We've been light in the centres. I mean, we've not had a decent centre, a world-class centre for a long, long time.
So let's go through our centres then. Who are we talking about?
Well, presume Gelling's not going to come back.
Right.
So Gelling's gone. So you're left with Toby King, Jake Mamo. Who else have we got, Sam? I mean, you're shaking your head at Jake Mamo, but he has been a fill-in centre.
No, it's not that. Sorry, I'm shaking my head at Toby King. I've got a different theory. Toby King, centre. Keenan Brand is a centre. Jake Mamo, Ratchford at a push, I suppose.
Burrell?
Maybe.
Oh, I'd forgotten about him.
Well, it's whether he's classed as a centre or not.
Are any of them any as good as Inglis then? Because I've not done my own work.
You could put three of them together and they'd just about match Greg Inglis, I would guess.
Right, okay. So, Rob, out of all those players, what are your centres now?
It clearly looks that we are going to play him at centre. I was surprised they would play him at centre. The only reason being is he will be the best player on the field. And I'm not sure we should have the best player on the field out in the centre position. Do they play him at 13? Has he got the ability to play there?
This is a guy who we've just said has been out for a couple of years and he had wear and tear on his knee. You don't want him at 13 bashing up the middle. You want him on an edge in space.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
giving
right.
the ball early, getting one-on-one with the opposition centre. And he'll just stand. They'll half tackle.
Answer the question, London.
He'll stand up with a ball in his hand and he'll say, "There you go, Charnley," or "There you go, Lynham. You've got a nice, easy run into the line."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd like to see my centres then as Inglis and Ratchford with Ashton at one. Or Inglis and Ashton and Ratchford at one.
Well, you've stolen my thunder there. Oh. I think if we're looking at salary cap, and Carl Fitzpatrick was pretty clear in the new press this week that Greg's coming in. I'm not taking a problem. We're not taking a problem with salary cap. I'm just hypothesising here that Gelling won't be here next year. So I don't know that, but I'm saying Inglis is coming in for Ben Murdoch-Masella and Gelling and probably Latu, who's not played at all yet, and maybe even Deck Patton. So four players go will probably make up English's wages. But my theory is this. I can see Toby King moving to second row.
Yeah.
And I can see Ashton at fullback, Charnley, Ratchford right centre, English left centre, Lynham left wing, Austin and Widdop. That is a frightening amount of talent and speed and ability.
Yeah. And I have a funny feeling out of those seven players, Inglis will score more tries than the other six put together. If he's up for it.
They won't pass to him. Yeah, yeah.
If he's playing in the centre.
He's playing in the centre.
And he's going to score loads of tries.
The only thing I've got at fault with that, Sam, and I'm a little bit upset, is that we won't be able to kick across field to Toby King.
I know.
Well, they will if he comes on the pitch. If we look at them, then we've got Riley Dean covering your halfbacks. You've got Jake Mamo covering all the three quarters, the fullback. You've got Keenan Brand and Josh Thewlis to throw in there as well. We've got plenty of cover there. My concern would perhaps be for the pack, because we've talked for a while now that we want a big, nasty prop or someone like that. Maybe with no money to bring in, and we're going to still be Hill, Cooper, Philbin, Sitalecki. There's your four main props.
It's an ageing front row, that, isn't it?
Maybe Lewis Johnson coming to play occasionally prop.
Come on, we've got to give up on Lewis Johnson. Come on.
No.
Have you got Harvey Levett coming back to play second row? Your second row would be Hughes, Curry, Clark.
Doesn't it all come down to the vote, though? I mean, we've not voted. We may be having a
deduction
on the salary cap, depending on how Salford vote. Do you find this bizarre? We should probably comment on this now, that some of the media that I've read, some of the articles that I've seen on Twitter, etc., and I think there's a huge amount of jealousy, but when you take the jealousy aside and you look at some of the journalists writing that Greg Inglis isn't good for the British game. I mean, what the fuck? I mean,
I agree.
He's a superstar. He is going to increase the Sky deal. He's going to put bums on seats. Wherever he plays, whether it's at Wakefield, Hull KR, people are going to go along and watch Greg Inglis. He will bring so much revenue into the game. And for anyone to think that it's wrong that he's coming in, you're a dickhead.
Yeah.
Is that Hetherington you're referring to? Because he's the one
in the media that have said it. They're living in the fucking dark ages.
Yeah. It's not like this is a journeyman Australian who's coming over.
No.
This is a Hall of Fame superstar. And as long as he's fit, exactly as you say, 300-500 extra people per game at these other grounds are going to turn up only because they've heard Greg Inglis is going to be playing and they remember seeing him on telly.
I don't think people realise just what a superstar this kid is in Australia. Mm. This guy is a superstar in Australia. He is on the front and back pages of newspapers. But no, let's not have him in the English game because there's a few young lads out there who need to earn an extra bob a week.
Can you imagine what Keenan Brand is going to learn from this guy?
He's going to be butchering from the stand, isn't he?
He's going to be with him every day in training.
Sam, we just need to stop a second, Sam, because I'm a little bit worried about Dennis. What's wrong today, Dennis?
Well, you two.
We've just signed Greg Inglis.
I know, but it's good. You know what? It might not even happen yet. It's a long way off, 2021.
Well, for the minute, we need something to cheer us up.
But it doesn't cheer me up. I like something else. I want to know how much is the lasagna going to be when we get to Halliwell Jones again and things like that.
Oh, dear. Steve Price must be rubbing his hands knowing this. Oh, yeah. Now, who does the coup need to go to? It's Jason Clark, isn't it? I mean...
We believe so.
If it wasn't for JC, he wouldn't be coming by the sounds of it. So... We'll move on to that later because we've got that in the Twitter vote, Dennis. Although, if you want to talk about it now, because you're not obviously chatting today, we could break rank here.
No.
Did you have a big night?
I'll carry on with the format. No. I've actually been out for a bike ride today, come back, and just rehydrating with a gin and tonic.
Okay, right. Well, it's time for BCUTW, Ben Curry's Curry of the Week. Sam, has my new acronym given you an appetite to have, you know, another go at this, or Curry's left for just leaving your ring piece a bit raw?
Well, after my excitement of Greg Inglis.
Oh, here we go. Here's his caveat.
And I had a nice night last night and I woke up this morning.
Sex.
Ready? Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
yes. The wine was flowing last night.
Wow.
And I woke up this morning. I thought I'd go for a run. And I got my phone to record on Strava. And the first thing I got was Instagram messages. And the very first message, I'll quote, "Since you follow Ben Curry, you might like Wigan Warriors."
No. Oh. So are you saying the algorithms of Google are at work here?
I'm frightened. I'm frightened Ben's going. He's still not signed his contract, and Instagram have already got us wanting to follow Wigan Warriors. And surely we're only going to be following Wigan Warriors if Ben Curry's been liking some of their posts.
So what's this got to do with Curry of the Week? What Curry of the Week is it? You've got nothing. You've got absolutely nothing.
It's give you the shits.
The cupboard
is
bare.
He's dead to me. He's dead to me.
Dennis, any curries this week for Ben Curry? Nothing.
Well, I think... no. I think there's one that I think we talked about the other week. I know we didn't talk about it the other week, but what could, I suppose,
well, look,
give Sam the shits?
I think I've looked into this, right? And the word chopstick in pidgin English means chop chop, which means run quickly. Or it could also mean he's for the chop. So I think this week's Ben Curry Curry of the Week is a Japanese chicken katsu.
Today's curry dish is Japanese chicken katsu.
Ichikari mate maru.
What's this? Oh, don't tell me that's chopsticks. That's version on casual racism. No, that's it. I've had enough. I'm not doing the silly voice anymore. It's ridiculous. Christ, I've got a master's in quantum physics. I thought this showed a little bit of credibility now you've got Greg Inglis on. But no, this is it. I've had enough. I'm not doing any more of these. Utter bullshit. Goodbye.
Can I just say that I've just had a quick look on the internet, and according to Vice magazine, Japanese curries tend to be mild, thick and sweet.
They are. I do like a chicken katsu.
Does that... Well, that'll suit Wigan then, won't it? I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. We should just point out at this moment, if anyone wants to have a laugh, just go on the Wigan TV podcast this week and listen to the first 10 minutes. Just how bitter they are that we've signed Greg Inglis. Serious. Just don't listen to the whole thing. Just the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. They'll not listen to this, will they?
Are you going to share, Rob, that you kept sending Sean at the Wigan podcast texts every 5 minutes saying, we've signed Greg Inglis?
Well, I have. I mean, Sean, to be fair, has been quite good about it, but just have a listen to the Wigan podcast for the first 10 minutes to realise how bitter you can be. Okay.
In fact, if people could just actually write in to say how many minutes they endured, I think that'd be quite a good thing as well.
Okay. Are your tackle bags under strain? We sift our way through this bizarre new world. Perhaps Dennis's dystopian ideas are not as frightening as we first feared. As we all know, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. And Dennis discusses bollocks. It's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Ah, this feels good, doesn't it, eh?
Now, oh, you're awake now. It's his turn.
Hey, talked about Greg Inglis. He had nothing for Greg Inglis. Tackle bags comes on.
Fuck off, Greg Inglis. He'll do what he'll do. Yeah, rubbish. Anyway, tackle bags. This is where it's happening. Last time, building on the idea of players being furloughed at the moment, what were rugby players going to do with themselves? Well, I came up with a new game show. where they can test their rugby athlete skills and strength using the various formats of game shows, such as Krypton Factor mixed with Superstars and It's a Knockout, in a new show called Super Bevan Factor Krypton Knockout Stars, where rugby league teams take part in a series of physical activities in weekly regional shows incorporating a league table, thus allowing us in some way to finish the season with all the teams. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Anyway, this stirred the passions of our listeners of a particular age. At the same time, it obviously said some of the younger audience didn't really have a clue. But anyway, yes, 61% of our fans said yes. The Count of Monte Don, brilliant. I was a big fan of these shows. I once had pleasure of getting in one of those giant costumes on its a knockout. Did you know that you could poke out of the crotch? I don't really know what he was poking out the crotch. Don't cry.
You mentioned Monty Don and his dog Nigel died this week.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Oh, dear. Never mind. I don't think it was a real Monty Don. Anyway, no, 37%. This is our Phantom Dishcloth. He said, it would be carnage on them bites. Look what happened to Kevin Keegan in Superstars. Although at least no one puts their feet in the clips anymore.
Do you think we'll ever go an episode without mentioning Kevin Keegan putting his clips in the pedals in Superstar?
It's got legs. Other 2%, this is off Munter. I enjoyed a show in Amsterdam once called Ooh. It's a Cock Out. I don't think it's the same.
dear.
Right. I'm going to move on to this week.
Please do.
Right. This week is my new rugby league management system.
Ooh. Is this run by Man Meninga?
No. Oh, dear. Right. It's called Waywell's Analytical Numerical Know-How Algorithm. So this Jesus. Is a software package. I can see Sam writing something down. This is a software package that looks into the strategy of a club and looks at it holistically. I have devised a program of restructuring and a culture change of leadership within a rugby club. And this package is all about, running it through the computer, setting out a lot of examples of how you strategically align your business with the rugby club. So I've developed it over a period of time. It's basically based on the Plan, Do, Check and Act of Deming, the quality guru. But here I've replaced players, directors, coaches and associations as the PDCA. The plan is the P with the players and combinations, defence and offence, structures, etc. Do is the directors that follow on and basically implement the recommendations that I make. Check, I check in with the coaches to see, make sure everything's going, etc.
Do you think you're on drugs, Sam?
No, I'm not on drugs.
It's on something.
And interact with the media to control the message. So,
and you've written this program, have you?
Yes, I have.
DOS based.
It's computer code. It took about 6 months. It's been in development, but I didn't want to mention till this point because we're ready to go. So I ran the survey through my abbreviated VANC algorithm, and I can confirm the Warrington Wolves are 71% efficient. So, banking second on the chart to only Leeds, although it's worthwhile saying that Kevin Sinfield did ask me to put his name on it and not Richard Agar going forward when I publish it.
Yeah.
So, obviously, that's an issue. Anyway, so let's use my VANC software and let's give it a little whirl. So I imagine you two are both on the board of the Warrington Wolves. Ooh. Now, in order for us to assess our strategy, and let's pick one recruitment strategy, for instance, I need you to answer the following questions. Okay. Right. So first one, and what I'll do is with all your questions, I'll write them down and I'm going to feed it into the computer.
Are we answering questions or answering them?
You're answering them.
Because you said they're all
set questions.
You said our questions. You mean our answers?
Yeah. I'm going to put your answers in. Yeah. These are the questions. Yeah. Don't try and throw me. This is all mathematical.
It is bankless, isn't it?
Yeah. Question one. In your squad, how many players fall into a world-class standard category.
No. Sam? Oh, he could take about half an hour to come up with this. He's already got his pen out. I'll go first.
Eight.
World class.
We're in the top brand of what we're paying him, yeah. I'm going to say eight.
Eight.
Oh, you're saying eight as well, Rob.
No, world class, one.
Don't forget, you're in the boardroom now. So, okay, I'll take an average for the board of directors here.
No, we'll
say
two.
I'll take an average of
four. Oh, sorry, am I on the board of directors now?
Yeah, you two are the directors.
Can I re-answer that again?
Yeah. I'll think it'd be about four.
Right.
Thanks very much.
Okay, I'll put that in. As a percentage of the total salary cap, what is the percentage that you've spent this year?
99.5%.
Okay.
Ooh, flush. Right on the top there.
What is the average yards per game made by the team?
Seven.
Okay. What is the average IQ of the coaching staff? Part of my plan is to test
seven.
How the strategy will be presented.
Quite low.
What is the hygiene rating for the site catering?
4.5 stars.
Okay, 4.5. Would the accommodation for a big name star be situated north of the river or south of the river? I think we've got it in our Twitter.
We'll come on. Yes, it is south. It is south, Dennis. It came out south. As a south vote. Yeah. So we'll go with the fans.
How much would you spend on your media entertainment? And I include podcast correspondence, just to be clear.
Oh, I'd probably spend 2/3 of the salary cap.
Okay. Well, how much is that in pounds?
£12.50.
Okay. And have you got Simon Meringue's bank
Simon,
account?
Simon Meringue. We've got Man Meninga and now Simon Meringue.
Yeah. Have you got his bank account number?
No.
Ooh, no.
Okay. That defaults to zero.
Oh,
on that one. Right, I'm just gonna run this through the computer to turn it on. Okay. Right, Kenneth, just help me out here. Just need to put it in. Hold on. I've just got to go and type these bits in. So. Right, yeah. Just putting them in. So
valves warming up.
Okay. Just do what you can then, Kenneth. So Kenneth's just putting this in now and he's explaining. All right, Kenneth. Yeah, he's just putting it in. Right. Whoa. Yeah, all right. So, what the fuck, Kenneth? Hang up.
Oh God, when's the rugby back, Sam? When's the rugby
right?
Back?
Anyway, I will go through the results.
To August, Rob. Sorry, hello, Dennis.
I've got the results.
Say the best thing to do is actually just amuse them and go along with
okay.
it.
Okay, you two, as board of directors of the Warrington Wolves, are in the 8% quartile. The results are immediate action list, request an increase to the salary cap. So that's something you need to do. Sign another couple of union players because I think they're not on the salary cap. And clear out the deadwood. Kenneth, you've crossed out that pattern of deadwood. Clear out the deadwood. In summary, you're in the early stages of developing into a first-class rugby team. You should be looking for players who have slightly passed their sell-by date but are box office and can put bums on seats. Big Australian names with a high profile, simple characteristics of size and to the weight ratio of a heavyweight boxer and the ability to handle balls. The club should consider attracting high-profile players to the club with a house in the Thelwall area, with a player's name on the side of the car, a media campaign including regular podcasting broadcasts, and a 2-for-1 deal on lasagna in the club canteen.
Oh,
so that's the summary, really. So
that's very good, Dennis. You want to paint in that as quickly as you can?
I will do. Longer term actions. I'm going to do it over a 5-year plan. I'm going to call this the Waywell Assessment Tools. So
you're not I don't think you're probably the first person to think of a 5-year plan, though. I mean, I know you've often been ahead of your time, but if you think back to the days of Wilderspool at sort of the turn of the century, would
it
that be right, Sam?
There was a 5-year plan around at that time that we were going to implement and never actually did we?
We flirted
around with it and never actually did anything.
Was that Steve Anderson?
That's the guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what he's doing now.
We should get him on. Hang on, I'll have a look in the Yellow Pages.
Oh, God, Yellow Pages. You don't have Yellow Pages.
It's a magic book, this, Dennis. It's got everyone's number in.
You just go on.
Hello, it's me again. Lockdown was getting tiring and challenging, seeing weekends go by not being able to watch the multi-wire. But little did we know, the powers that be had a trick up their sleeve. Possibly the greatest modern day rugby league player ever, Greg Inglis, is somehow now a Warrington Wolf. Still cannot quite believe it. And there's not much more to say than how excited I, and everyone else is, not just to see him play for Warrington, but in Super League. If he's marketed the right way, what a star he will be. Just hope he can deliver us the grand final, the forbidden fruit that is that. One thing is left to say, it's always our year.
I know Lee Breers doesn't like the saying, Sam, but Callum's come out with it. Greg Inglis.
Callum's on the hit list, isn't he? Callum's on the hit list.
Greg Inglis, will it be our year? Come on, I want it from both of you. With Greg Inglis playing...
Did you not go through a phase with Callum where everybody he mentioned got injured?
Oh, God. For fuck's sake, Callum. Didn't think of that. Sam, will it be our year? Will it be our year with Greg Inglis in the side?
Can I quote my favourite cartoon from my youth? Penry the mild-mannered janitor.
Could be.
Yes.
You're sitting on the fence again, Sankey.
Well, I'll have to caveat everything. If Greg comes fit and motivated, he will be man of steel and he'll win it for us.
So it's a yes.
If he comes fit and motivated.
It's a yes from Sam. Dennis?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to phone Madam Boyd later, but I've heard a rumour off Madam Boyd. I have to have it confirmed that he's coming sooner.
Ooh.
So 2021 is presumed is what you're talking about. Will it be our year? I was just thinking about 2020.
Right, which wasn't the question.
All right, no.
Dear you. Ah, dear. Right, okay. I'd like to point out at this point that I think Chris Riley made the best point this podcast has ever had, and that is we are lacking a bit of biff in our pack. And I think he clearly pointed out that he doesn't quite believe, not that they're not tough men, they're all tough men that play rugby league, but we haven't got someone out there that bosses the game.
Someone who's nasty.
And until we get some nasty bastard in that pack, we're not going to go forward as much as we think.
Do you think they will end up signing a prop of some distinction?
I don't think we've got any money to sign a prop now, have
There's
we?
There's loads of money under this cap. It just keeps giving, doesn't it?
The cap that keeps on giving.
I guess it depends. We've been linked with... He's not nasty, but he's a different type of player. We've been linked with Josh Jones, haven't we? He's a big, hard... second row rather than prop.
Yeah, but he's not. He's more of a Nathan Hindmarsh. He's more of a runner, isn't he? He's not dirty.
But my point being, Ben Curry is more of a silky ball playing second row. If he does go, then we're going to be bringing somebody in. So if
he's going, isn't he?
If Ben Curry does go, we've got some money to bring somebody in. And it'll be quite a bit of money to bring.
All right. Well, who would you prefer? Would you prefer? You only have one of them. Would you prefer Ben Curry or Josh Jones?
Personally, well, there's only one answer I'm going to give, aren't I?
You're Ben Curry, right? Fair enough. Yeah.
0.4 second delay is basically his head saying Josh Jones.
No, but
heart,
we might choose Curry. If let's say Curry goes, we might choose to buy a prop. And then you'd be putting Toby King and Lewis Johnson in the second row, or Matt Davis, wouldn't you? Or Harvey Levette come back.
Here's one for you, Dennis. If you could only have Greg Inglis or Blake Austin in 2021, who are you having?
Greg Inglis.
Sam?
No.
Fit, yeah, Greg Inglis. Yeah.
Right, okay. Right, there
fit.
We go.
Rob?
Oh, Greg. Blake Austin is not on the same page as Greg Inglis, mate. It's just this. We're talking a superstar, mate, not some guy who was sitting on the bench at Canberra. Oof, dear.
That's a bit harsh for when Blake comes on next week, isn't it? We'll just play him that clip.
Just keeping it real, lads. Just keeping it real. Okay, all right. Time to move on then to the Twitter vote. We had a couple of Twitter votes this week because we were trying to fill in time on the podcast, thinking that we haven't signed Greg Inglis, although we have now made the Twitter vote about Greg Inglis. First one is, where do you believe is the perfect area for Warrington and Greg Inglis to call home? Now, we had four options. We had Longford, Dalham, Grappenhall and Appleton. You'd be pleased to know, Sam, that south of the river won this hands down with 43%. It was pretty much a tie between Longford, Dalham and Grappenhall, all ranging around about 19-20%. Dennis, you got any problems with that at all?
It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you're getting a high-profile player.
Well, you say that, but you can travel at quite a speed down London Road. We're trying to keep your speed down, and you know,
maybe Grappenhall Village, maybe cobbled
on the
stones,
cobbles.
You know,
that's a good idea.
Maybe I think that's where you want to look after him. There was a house actually going for sale the other day. Right on the canal there.
Yes. And of course, as we all know, they are cobbles in Grappenhall. They are not sets. There's very few cobbles actually in the country. Most of them are sets, but Grappenhall, they are cobbles. So there you go. Right. Second one was...
Let me put that to bed.
Right. Well, moving on then. Another one on Greg Inglis. With Wire signing superstar Greg Inglis, which of these four players currently out of contract in 2021 would you most like Warrington to re-sign and play alongside GI? We had four options: Matty Davis, Jason Clark, Ben Curry and Josh Thewlis. You'd be pleased to know, Sam, your Twitter vote won again. Ben Curry came in with 53%. And 29% for Jason Clark, only 9% for Matty Davis, and also 9% for Josh Thewlis. I'll read you out a message we had from Dan Lewis. He said, "Hi, guys. After you talking about who may stay or who may go next year, and Jason Clark being one of them, do you think now that it's been part of him getting his best mate Inglis over here, he'll get another year just to help him settle in?" Jason Clark as a carer next year in the 2021 side, Sam. Are you up for that?
Oh, yeah. If he needs a bodyguard, if he needs someone to drive him round so he don't go too fast, he don't go over the 30 mile an hour, then Jason will do it.
So you're saying you'd keep Jason Clark instead of Ben Curry?
It's a team man, isn't he? Obviously, it's a team player.
See, this is why we brought him in, isn't it? I mean, without him, Greg Inglis is not coming to Warrington, so... Yeah. He has to stay now, doesn't he, Dennis? We have to keep Jason.
No, he's served his purpose now. That's it. Ship him out.
Heartless.
What I mean is that, you know, obviously the conversations have been going on behind the scenes. It might be that, you know, he's arranging to go back to Australia, and this is part of the, you know, the deal of replacing him on the salary cap, you know, bringing Inglis over. Or is it a case that, I agree, it makes sense really that, you know, Inglis needs somebody to hook up with here, living a night. Where does he live anyway, Jason Clark? Is he live near you?
Warrington, I guess.
No, is it south of the river though? That's the thing.
Of course it's south of the river.
Okay.
I tell you what, he has been out and about doing a lot of delivering packages for key workers and things like that, Jason Clark. You know, give the lad some credit.
I think you're forgetting something here, you two. Anyway, I mean, if you remember back to my tackle bags, number 38,
how could we forget?
Yeah, the commune and how we should actually have a commune with the club. Now, wouldn't that be perfect now? Everybody would be going, oh, yeah, that guy in tackle bags, he mentioned that, didn't he? That's a great idea. Get him over here, look after him, make sure he doesn't go off the rails, whatever the rails are.
Fair enough. So we're keeping Jason Clark. That's what you're saying. We're keeping Jason Clark to keep an eye on Greg Inglis.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Matty Davis and Josh Thewlis. I mean, I presume they're both going to re-sign, Sam, do you think? They'll both stay with the club?
I'd be very disappointed and surprised if Josh Thewlis doesn't sign for the club again.
Josh Thewlis?
That's him.
Yeah.
Is it something wrong with your earphones today? Is that what it is?
No, you definitely said Thewlis.
No, you definitely said Josh Thewlis. Yeah. Does he know Man Meninga?
So come on, Rob. Do you think any of them should be re-signed?
Oh, I think it's all about cross-cultural training. There's no doubt about that. That's how you keep your players, you know, focused on their role in their job. So it's more about off the field than on the field. So if Jason Clark has to say to keep Greg Inglis happy, he has to stay. No question about it. So, no, he'll definitely stay. Well done, Jason Clark. That's what I say. Best thing he's done for Warrington so far in his time at the club. One player, of course, who is still re-signed is Toby King. With all this lockdown going on, a lot of people have been doing a lot of sort of DIY. I know Sam's done a little bit down there. Did anyone see the new painting and decorating ad this week on TV?
No. Oh, sorry.
Are you the kind of decorator struggling to reach those high corners, even though you've toiled away in spades with the rest of the painting? Need an alternative to put a triumphant coat on your resilient efforts? Look no further than the Toby King Fifth Tackle Stepladder. And with the Toby King Fifth Tackle Stepladder, you'll be able to climb out even of the most difficult situations. Stuck struggling to touch the combing way up high? Ascend the Toby King Fifth Tackle Stepladder and splash any old shit to complete the job. No need for a Jackson Bollock finish when the Toby King Fifth Tackle Stepladder's to hand. Its revolutionarily flat-footed feet means you can trust a tightly gripped firm stroke that goes up and down, that will be sure to be free of blistering. Yes, be all the talk of the decorators group with the Toby King Fifth Tackle Stepladder. And order now before midnight to receive your free Ben Murner Massilla Roller. Guaranteed to suck up 7 litres of paint in just one roll. With a price that's right when you've run out of ideas to paint over the cracks in the changing room, it's the Toby King Fifth Tackle Stepladder every time.
Well, I'm definitely getting myself one of those. Okay, it's time for...
Remain indoors.
You are now listening to the Rugby League Emergency Broadcast System.
Welcome back to the Warrington Wolves Isolation News, reporting every week on what the players of the Warrington Wolves have been getting up to. Our supercomputer, Lottie, will analyse the web and social media activities each week and randomly select a player and isolation activity for the podcast to analyse. So, without further ado, Lottie, let's plot those dots from those wire clots. And the results are in. It's Flaky Blake, the Messiah, and his new world order.
Well, Lottie has picked Blake Austin yet again, who's been doing a fair bit of preaching on Instagram, Dennis.
He has, hasn't he? He reminds me of the film 1984, Head of the Thought Police. I think that's where I'm going with that. I think his name was Charrington. Charrington, there you go.
Oh dear. I mentioned this to my missus. I said, here, have a look at this clip of Blake Austin online. And she said, it's the kind of thing you might say to your mate, but not put it out there on social media.
No.
I think that's the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah. It's very misplaced. Did you were you clapping him, Sam, when he drove past your house?
I've not seen sight and sound of him around here.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking, oh, this is just upgrade from that bloke who used to stand in Fletcher Street with the big boards. I mean, he was the Instagram of the 1980s, wasn't he?
Hey? I've got a picture of him.
Yeah. Yes. That's all it was. That was Instagram. That, people talking bollocks back in the 80s. Yeah. It's good to see people still talking bollocks in 2020.
We're going to have to come up with a name for him, aren't we?
Yeah, something like, I don't know, Flaky Monk Blake or something.
Oh, good morning, Brother Waywell.
Good morning, Brother London. Who do we have today?
Oh, it's that fucking Flaky Blake again. Brother thinks he runs the place.
Not the cult of Blako.
Here he goes.
Hey guys, I've just thought of a bit of a tip for people
who are
struggling a little bit at the moment. Obviously, we're doing the clap for the NHS every Thursday at 8 p.m.
I don't fancy the clap.
I was out on a bit of a drive.
Why is he going for a drive at 8 o'clock?
I was off to drop something off to someone at
Oh, he's dropping something off.
You know, at the time of 8 p.m. and I come down the street, houses either side, and
Flaky Blake, it's came down the street.
If you're struggling a bit mentally, just go for a drive at 8 p.m. next Thursday.
Why would you do that? You should be at home clapping.
Drive down the street and watch everyone come out of their house and give you a clap, and you can't help but feel like they're clapping for you. So there's a tip.
Oh, where will he go when they're all booing at him? Will he be north of the river? What a fucking idiot. I can't wait till Brother Inglis arrives. Oh yes, it's all over for him then. Fancy coming back to mine for a cup of cocoa and a slice of Battenberg? Oh, lovely. Give you a kiss if you like.
It's time for a new section to the show. Well, I say new. We've just rebudged it. Yes, wait for it. It's time for... It's coming. Yes, here it is. Lockdown. I said lockdown. Yes, lockdown. Lockdown letters. Emails. Texts. Tweets. Twitches. MySpace. Bebo. Friends reunite. Those wankers that write on walls in toilets. You know the ones. Put little dicks on the walls with a sort of hole that turns out to be a glory hole if you stick your cock through it. Not that I'd know that. Anyway, it's time for lockdown letters.
Right, we've had a few this week. Now, we should point out at this stage that our demographic has risen amongst females. We are now riding along at 12.9% of the people that listen to the podcast are female. So I've tried to take a selection of more female letters this week, rather than being the sort of male chauvinistic ones we have on.
Does Sam need to take a tablet at this point? Or are we going straight into it?
Sam's already nervous.
Well, the first one's from Debbie Medium. She says, I'm a keen listener to the podcast, if only for Ben Curry's Curry of the Week. Consequently, I've tried to replicate the culinary dish you've described Ben to be from every episode.
Oh, dear.
However, following last week's Ben Curry's Curry of the Week being Edwina Curry, this became practically impossible. Please, 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 in the future, can you stick to food suggestions only? I did, though, however, consider having an affair with Steady Bob Rutherford, who lives three doors down from me and works for the council. He's hardly John Major, but in these times of hardship, I thought sucking off a civil servant town planner was the closest I could get to an ex-prime minister.
Interesting times down that street.
Well, chicken katsu this week, Debbie, so you'll be fine. So if you want to have a go at that, you should be all right. Jim Vaseline's written... Sorry. Jim Vaseline's written in. What? You're right, Dennis? Oh, dear. Yeah. It's late. I'm tired. Jim Vaseline, why, oh, why did the VE Celebrations episode start with Blackadder going over the top? This has nothing whatsoever to do with the end of the Second World War and relates clearly to World War One. It's these kinds of discrepancies that leads to you undermining your own show. Mm. Until this piss-poor attitude is put right, I'm boycotting the podcast. So Jim actually won't hear this, but yeah. That's the way.
So what did we do wrong?
In the episode for the VE Celebrations, we played the Blackadder going over the top at the start. Ah, and that was from the First World War.
We have to play that. So when it comes to November Remembrance Day, do we play a Second World War clip then?
If Jim Vaseline's back on board at that stage, we're only going to annoy him again, aren't we? So
yeah.
Florence Mussolini has written in.
God,
I'm emailing you from our La Casa here in Italy, where I returned home and retired with my husband, having previously lived in Warrington. We can watch Super League on Sky here now, which is the only reason my husband agreed for us to move closer back to my family here in Italy. Most shops, hairdressers and Bellazar parlours have shut down during the lockdown, so I'm not as trim as I once was. The other night, my husband commented on my legs, saying I look like Billy McGinty. I asked, what is this goat? But he told me he used to play for Warrington and had hairy legs. I asked, why have I not seen this goat like hairy man playing? It seems no men in rugby league have hairy legs. Ciao, Florence. So, Dennis, anyone with hairy legs? You like a hairy leg.
Yeah, I do. You know what? Now I come to think of it, I just can't think of anyone with a hairy leg.
Exactly. Different. See, this is the modern day game. And our final one, and I was taken back by this one. It's coming by Stephanie Preston. Stephanie writes, she says, I've been watching Warrington for 15 years now. I identify as transgender. It's my journey and why am my club. Very early on at the Halliwell Jones, I chose to use the women's toilets. I believe this had everything to do with my transgender journey and how I identify at being female. However, now I'm not so sure. On the appointment of Steve Price, I find I started to have the urge to use the male toilets. Similar to the French language having to declare every noun as either female or male, my transgender identification seems to come from the style of how Warrington choose to play. Clearly, Tony Smith's flamboyant belief in giving air to the ball from one side or the other comes from a place within me of female sexuality, whereas Steve Price and his resilience terminology leads me to feel more masculine.
I'm going to remain non-binary on this.
P.S. I can only hope on the departure of Steve Price, Lee Brearce is not appointed caretaker coach. I'd expect I wouldn't know whether to use the men's or ladies' toilets and end up shitting myself in the stand. Love, Stephanie Preston, formerly Steve Blackburn.
Oh, dear. I'd like to just go on record and say I have nothing to do with lockdown letters.
Okay, that's it for another week. Are we getting any closer to the end of this viral apocalypse? Hopefully, and perhaps behind closed doors, there's a fixture list not too far away. Until then, keep your lockdown letters coming to whatbevan@gmail.com, tweet to whatbevan, or anyone out there with AstroTurf in their back garden. Of course, there's always Facebook. So as the momentous news of our new signing still sinks in, it's a goodbye, still pinching himself from Sam.
All the best, and August isn't too far away.
And from a man whose jaw's still on the ground, no, not caused because of the shock of the forthcoming star player, but from the fact that his fat fucking double chin is almost impossible now to keep his mouth shut. It's a counting down until 2021 from Dennis.
Seeing you.
I'm Rob London. I'm off to laminate a few pictures of Sir Gregory Inglis before retiring to my quarters. You've been listening to What Would Brian Inglis Say?
Oh, right, well, there you go. Twitter vote next week. Best players with hairy legs. Thank you.